So the ghetto Uber, Uber's late. So we can't give him no bad rating because he's under the table right now. We had a possible huge snafu yesterday when I realized that I booked the flight on the PM, not the AM. So thank you to Delta for making the shift on an untransferable ticket. She's still. Like the goobers here. Ready? Almost called the lift, bro.
Rush upstairs and brush your teeth, and you should be ready to go, okay?
Traveling at the speed of thought. Go, go.
Preferred outfit as a child
at the beach?
Yeah, just naked.
Where'd you grow up at?
Laguna Beach area. Yeah, like Dana Point is a city next to it, yeah. So that's where I went to high school. We had a surf team.
The high school had a surf team?
Yeah, a competitive surf team.
Were you on that?
No. As my friend would say, I'm very good at floating. As opposed to surfing, actual surfing.
Yeah.
Good at floating. Yeah, I can sit on it and float very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can lay down on it and do this pretty well.
Yeah.
It's the standing up and riding the wave part that I
the surfing part of surfing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, I think it's about having a high center of gravity. I fall right over.
Yeah.
The same goes for skiing, snowboarding, skateboarding. Yeah. There's a lot of tumbling.
Do you think that's what do you think you're was it your lack of balance that threw you into music, or you did music were you yeah. always
The guitar was always there. My dad literally had a guitar in my room. There was a guitar in my room as long as I can remember existing.
Wow.
There was one sitting there.
Yeah.
So I would pick it up and play it, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, the more I've just thought about it, because like say once I fell in love with music,
mm-hmm.
it was just full focus, full intention, just
music.
Yes.
Thought music, woke up with melodies,
yeah.
sleep with melodies,
yeah, just
lyrics.
Unlocked a portal of pleasure, really. It brings you a lot of joy.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if you're too obsessed with anything,
yeah.
again, there's repercussions.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention to other aspects of your life
right.
as much.
Right.
Maybe not nurturing relationships as much as you should, or just not paying attention to other stuff.
All right, so we just interviewed Ryan a little bit at the beach. I am dead tired because I didn't sleep on the plane. Trying to nap. We haven't done the full interview yet. We're gonna go back to his spot. Any update?
I think working together as a husband and wife has been great so far. It's actually been amazing. So we'll see. This is day one.
Pastar is the gold standard. Let me get two Pastar, two carnitas.
Everything?
Everything, please. We're here.
Yeah, mine everything too.
Thank you.
Listen to some of the Mansion Boy stuff, and I think the first record we put together.
Who are the Mansion Boys?
Who are the Mansion Boys? To me, had the most. That was the most honest version of the Mansion Boys. At least when I listened to my lyrics, that they were. I felt like the most representative of me.
Head to two places, two lives, two destinations, and they find that life's abrasive.
Yeah, yeah.
You could get a facelift,
yeah, yeah,
but you can't get a soul lift.
Nah,
unless you get high.
And then there was a point when I said I took on the persona of Cregan Jenkin.
Of the characters, right.
And the character Cregan Jenkin was because I had a coworker who knew about my exploits. And he said, your name is not Christian Jansen, your name is Cregan Jenkin.
Ladies, I'm tuning in from Las Vegas, and I'm here to let you know another sign that you're dating a mansion boy. One way to know for sure is he gives you a budget for the weekend. Something like $1,500.
Basically, I think all the drugs started messing with my skills. Mm-hmm. And I think in the moment, I felt like they were empowering my skills.
Right.
But when I listened to the records, I go, okay, I'm clearly more on my game here. And that was before the drug use had really gotten, like, out of control for me,
mm-hmm.
personally.
Right. Yeah. But see, like, this is kind of a side thing, but I think plays into the same thing. But, like, I remember when, like, The Weeknd's first song came out, right? You sent it to me. You were like, you gotta hear this.
Yeah.
And
this is like his underground, like
his underground stuff.
Yeah.
That first one with the guitar, I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
All this money is a motive.
Yeah.
So you and about five other people sent me that song saying, hey, you need to hear this.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to it and going, okay, this guy is obviously singing in this persona that is very similar to the Mansion Boys
yeah.
style.
Yeah.
And sort of just playing that game in my head is like, okay, is this person acting this way? It's a persona.
Right.
How is it affecting his real life? I'm like, I'm
yeah.
sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But it does start to seep into your real life.
Every one of his songs is about cocaine.
And sex. Right.
And cocaine sex.
Which is what a lot of our songs ended up being about on some level as
right.
well.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
not overtly, influenced by.
Yeah.
That good purple smoke, get in the car and just go. And then when we start to choke, my car give off purple smoke. My car give off purple smoke. My car give off purple.
Thunderbird T-top, yeah, she keep her bra on. Smokey and a bandit, pass it if you got some. 10-4, good buddy, I got you. Cannonball run, wake and bake like I taught you.
Substance abuse and sexual thoughts.
Yeah. I think that was what was at the... When I got out of rehab... the week I got out of rehab, that was the week the song Go Out Tonight was featured on Jersey Shore.
Yes, it was that week.
I got my suit on tight.
I'm fantastic, my mansion, this is outstanding. I'm on the guest list, and that's outside standing.
I'm looking for something nice. I think I'll go
because I remember sitting there at the house and it being put on and being so stoked. But then there was a point when I saw a bunch of kids on Twitter tweeting, this is my jam, I'm about to go out.
Right.
And I thought, oh, you snap.
Realize the effect.
My song is feeding this.
Uh-huh.
But there was a piece of me that just kind of was like, after going through literal hell to get my life back together, I was like, I can't consciously be feeding into this.
Right.
For somebody else. Because hey, we know people who have had fun with alcohol and maybe some drugs, and they go on and they live their life and they're cool.
Right.
But most of the people in my experience, they start using drugs and alcohol in high school, and then eventually they're in their 30s going, damn, I gotta quit this habit.
It gets nasty or something.
It gets progressively worse.
Right.
So I remember kind of really hitting that, but that was like the point when that song hit that show, we really had, at that point, we needed to push the gas down.
Right, we're at a fork in the road.
And then
I remember it causing anxiety, probably for both of us, but I remember for you, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, just sort of like...
Well, fresh out of rehab, I couldn't imagine going on the road at that point.
And I remember us having that talk even before rehab, too, of like, what the heck is going to happen to us? Like, what are we going to do?
Right. Without the supervision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean... So it's
interesting, like, yeah, what are you attracting into your life? Like, literally, that's what you have to think about.
Yeah.
That's what I've been thinking about in my self-exploration and self-discovery the last 12 months is like, who is on your phone? Who are the top 10 people on your phone that you call? Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Are these... Yeah. Like, sometimes I look at my top 10, I'm like, I'm super embarrassed by like 5 or 6 of these. What am I doing? You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, so a lot of my self-exploration of the last 12 months has been like, are these people the people I need to be working with? Is this correct? Is this a distraction?
Right.
Is this me being ridiculous? Is this me almost like participating in some self-hatred or some self-sabotage?
Right.
Is this lifting me up to the next level?
Right.
What is this doing?
Especially in situations like that, is to write down what you value. And I think when you really drill down, what are the things that you value? Not what you want.
Mm-hmm.
What do you value?
Right.
You say like, you know,
wanting is different than
value. Like, I value very deep personal relationships.
Right.
So I place a lot of value on that. And so a lot of things that I do, I have a lot of really deep relationships, and I'm not very good at surface level, I'm just not good at that because I don't really value that relationship.
Right.
And so.
And that's why we're still friends to this day.
Yeah.
Too, because regardless of what each other's personal habits are, or regardless on the successes or failures of our musical endeavors, like,
yeah,
I'd rather be able to call you and say, hey, I need someone to talk to for an hour.
Right.
That's more important than being like, oh, you neglected our rap group. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it sounds kind of silly. It is,
yeah,
something that could be a deal breaker or a friendship ender or a,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely could have been. Basically, essentially, if it, you know, I'm sure people are going to be looking at the Mansion Boys right now. They're going to be very, either very let down,
yeah,
or very inspired. But essentially, we had worked 5 years,
probably something like that,
to get this level of success, which was not anything to be. It's good. Even now, today, if you look on YouTube, you look on Spotify, I mean, it's like 500,000 plays on YouTube, and it's over 200,000 plays on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so essentially, we'd worked to get to this point, and then we get to that point, and then I basically said, I think my exact words was, God told me I need to stop.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially, what it was that scene that those people.
Yeah, the Twitter thing was intense because you see like 16 and 17 year old girls or boys saying like, yeah, I'm gonna go get like silly drunk tonight, and then like sort of quoting a lyric, and you're like, oh, this has an effect. Like, this might be funny to us, or it might be very real to us, but we're like 28, 29, 30.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And or 31 even.
Yeah.
So we're sort of kind of adults. We hopefully are kind of mature. I don't know if we are, but
well, I think, and we wanted to just get placed. We wanted to get, I think both of us came to a point with that group to say, we were like, we need to start making some money.
Yeah, something needs to happen.
So we started writing songs that we felt like we're gonna get placed in Jersey Shore on a show like that.
Right.
So basically, essentially, all this work gets to this point, and then I bail on that situation.
Right.
So, I mean, tell me, for you, what was it that kind of made you decide to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to respect that, and I'm going to still honor the friendship?
Well, it's just kind of a no-brainer for me, personally, just how I am. Like, I don't know if it's like kindness. I don't know if it's like arrogance. Like, part of me is like, oh, I'll just make another situation that I can participate in and maintain my friendship with someone instead of worrying about this thing.
Right.
Because the thing with music and musical groups is that it's not even like a thing that exists really until you tell it exists.
Right.
So if it doesn't exist, it's not like. It's not like your house is necessarily gone. It's just this thing that you made up. So,
yeah.
So on one hand, that's why it's easy for me to detach from that.
Yeah.
And maintain friendships. And look, at the time, it was important for your survival on some level, right?
Like, well, and yeah, and you had seen me. Probably one of the very few people. I could probably think of two other people who had seen me at my worst. So I think you probably knew what was at stake a little bit on my end, right?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing is that really friendship and connection with other human beings comes, that's the priority.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
I mean, look, part of me also, again, is like, I'm thinking of all angles, so part of me was kind of like, yeah, I'll just find someone else to work with.
Yeah.
Again, I want you to be healthy, so I'll find someone else to work with so I don't lose anything that I am doing. And then what actually happened is that I did find other people to work with, but
yeah,
it just didn't feel like the Mansion Boys. It was just a different thing.
Right.
So on one hand, I could look at like a blue collar worker and be like, I am replacing you with someone, and
right.
I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
Which some people would have done. It didn't feel right or honest to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
yeah.
wanted to write in the notebook the Mansion Boys Olympics with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It
right.
was.
Part of it was it was birthed out of the friendship.
Correct.
Right. So I think that's what you see when you look at like great like groups like Outkast.
Right.
I think you see that they actually were.
If one of those guys quit, it's hard to replace them.
They couldn't.
It's just a different thing.
Yeah.
And it might be successful, but it's different.
Yeah. I just compared the Mansion Boys to Outkast.
Sure.
Because well, we good. Might as well while we're on our.
Hey, look. I mean, without naming any names, when I was looking for a new rapper. I found a guy on Craigslist. He was not a Mansion Boy.
Yeah.
But I found someone to work with.
Yeah.
And he just signed a huge ass record deal with Roc Nation.
Right.
And so it did birth a... I did not have the bond or it was not the same relationship by a long shot.
Right.
But the death or the closed door of one thing led to another thing that was
right.
fruitful and
right.
rewarding.
Yeah.
And
well, I think the important thing is that and this is why when I often bring you up as being the most Christian non-Christian person I know, because to me what you've just explained are very core Christian principles, well, are supposed to be
right.
core Jesus principles, to say the value of this relationship is more important than anything else, and I'm gonna above all value that, you know.
Right.
And that's a very big thing. I think, you know, it's funny that I can find that in more people who don't claim to be Christians than I find that in people who claim to be Christians. I often find that people who claim to be Christians are not that. They're the absolute opposite of that. That they'll claim they value these things, but when it comes back to it, the actions don't reflect that.
Correct.
You know?
Right.
And so...
And so look, I went to church, I went to Sunday school as a kid. I would go to youth group and stuff. And so I was taught morals by both my parents,
mm-hmm.
who were good people, and at the churches, right? And then my church experience like took a turn,
yeah.
where I started being around people that were into the fearing of God thing
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you don't believe,
yeah.
you're gonna literally be in pain for eternity.
Right.
And I was like, what? What is that? What are you? Wait, this
wait,
sounds
y'all
horrible.
Y'all switch the script on us.
Yeah. Why are you
this
so
loving God to this?
But why are you
God?
Yelling at me?
Right.
About the devil and that sort of stuff and just being around some kind of unsavory people that were taking this good, pure thing and having it cater to their angry narrative.
Right.
And so that is what turned me off, and that's what made it seem less like a pure thing and more like it's going to sound like whoever is the one talking to
right.
you.
Yeah.
If they're an angry person, mm-hmm. I don't care what religion they are, they're going to kind of
yeah.
just be angry, or they might pass those vibes on to you. It seems so binary, meaning it seems like it's like 50-50 sometimes, you know? It seems like
yeah.
once you think good is taking over,
mm-hmm.
like all this evil comes and like just like takes back its 50% of the dialogue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think it comes from a misunderstanding of what love is. Like, I think of like when I got kicked out of the house at 17 and I was selling methamphetamines and doing them, and my dad was like, I just graduated high school. And I was
kicked out.
I wasn't like balling on that. I was selling enough so I could use.
Right.
And my dad kicked me out of the house. He's just like, I'm not gonna provide you this haven
mm-hmm.
to basically kill yourself.
If that's the path you choose, you gotta figure it out on your own. Type stuff.
Yeah, it was what he called tough love.
Right.
One side of love would be, oh, I'm gonna protect you. I wanna keep you close because
right.
I love you and I wanna see you and I wanna be close to you and I wanna make sure you're eating
mm-hmm.
and you know.
Right.
But the other side of love is to say, I love you, but I can't watch you kill yourself, or I can't help you kill yourself.
Right.
I have to, you know, hopefully put you in a situation where you'll come to terms with that.
Yeah, and a lot of times the only way we learn as humans is to actually experience the downside
right
before we can look up.
Right.
Right.